Vâng.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إنما كان قول المؤمنين إذا دعوا إلى الله رسوله ليحكم بينهم أن يقولوا سمعنا وأطعنا وأولئك هم المفلحون ومن يطع الله ورسوله ويخشى الله ويتقه فأولئك هم الفائزون وأقسموا بالله جهد أيمانهم لئن أمرتهم ليخرجن قل لا تقسموا طاعة معروفة إن الله خبير بما تعملون قل أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وإن تولوا فإنما عليه ما حمل وعليكم ما حملتم وإن تطيعوه تهتدوا وما على الرسول إلا البلاغ المبين وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم ولا يمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم ولا يبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا ومن كفر بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الفاسقون وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأطيعوا الرسول لعلكم ترحمون
یہ آیات سورہ نور کی ہیں. اللہ تعالیٰ فرماتا ہے کہ مومنوں کا قول
In the month of May, there is a special day for the Jamaat Ahmadiyya. That is to say, the 27th May is celebrated as Khilafat Day by the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. It is with this reference that I have chosen the subject that I am going to speak on, although there are yet 3 days remaining for it. 26 May 1908 was a day which shook the people's hearts to the core. It caused a tremor to the faith of many persons. Many others became extremely restless and anxious. It was a day for the opponents and detractors of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat to inflict pain and suffering upon the members of the Ahmadiyya community. In the annals of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, such atrocities are recorded that astounds one once reading them, that anyone could stoop so low. In terms of the acts of the opponents of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, which they perpetrated at the time of the demise of the promised Messiah. whilst they called themselves Muslims, whilst they attributed themselves to the mercy of all mankind, they yet performed such acts. In any case, people express their feelings in accordance with their nature. However, on the 27th of May, we also see the might of Allah the Almighty manifest and His promise be fulfilled. For the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, the 27th of May heralded a message of peace and security. The 27th of May brought with it the glad tiding of the prophecy of the promised Messiah alayhi salam being fulfilled. And it came as a day where the detractors of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat burned in their own fire. It shattered the false joys of the opponents of the community. So thus, this day is no ordinary day for the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. This day holds great importance. The significance of this day increases further when we glance at the prophecy of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The majority of the Muslim community at large look with great envy upon the Ahmadiyya community. In fact, more than envy, we can say that they look with jealousy upon the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat for having established a system of Khilafat. They have made numerous attempts to establish Khilafat on their own, and they continue to do so. However, at every attempt, they have failed. The reason for their failure is that they are disobeying the clear injunction and guidance of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had stated that when the advent of the promised Messiah and the Imam Mahdi occurs, then even if you have to throw yourself into difficulty, crawling on your knees over ice-bound glaciers to reach him, then do so and convey to him my salam. Further, the Holy Prophet detailed the signs which, if fulfilled, one should then consider that the claimant is true. These signs pertain to earthly and heavenly signs. These have been repeatedly explained before the Jamaat, and they are even presented before the opponents of the community. I will not mention these at this time. However, it is the misfortune of those who disbelieve that due to worldly gains or out of fear of the so-called Muslim clergy, or as a result of not following the guidance of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, they do not only not accept the one who made the claim. In fact, out of fear of the mullah who transgress in their opposition, the governments have gone to the extent that against this chosen one of Allah the Almighty, they adopt extremely filthy and obnoxious language and also perpetrate extremely bad acts. They do all this knowing that the time is crying and calling out for the destined one's appearance. Allah the Almighty has displayed these signs, and He continues to show signs in this respect. Yet, these people continue to oppose the sent one from God. Every time they oppose, they become embroiled in a new wave of punishment. Yet, their stubbornness and audacity is such that they do not want to desist from their opposition. Thus, if this is not the misfortune of these people, then how else can this be described? Nonetheless, as I stated, this day indeed holds great importance. It was proclaimed and announced by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his prophecies, although it was not announced with a specific date. However, by announcing the advent of his Messiah and of his ardent devotee, and by mentioning Khilafat, he had thus made this prophecy. Thus, what can be of greater importance than something that has been proclaimed by the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him? There is a hadith, a saying of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. It is narrated by Hadrat Huzaifa, may Allah be pleased with him. The Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stated, prophethood shall remain among you for as long as Allah wills. He will then cause it to end. Then a khilafat will be established on the precepts of prophethood. Allah the Almighty will then end this blessing whenever He so desires. Then, in accordance with His degree, oppressive kinghood will follow, which will inflict great pain and misery on its subjects. When this era comes to an end, according to His second manifestation, an even more tyrannical monarchy will follow, until the mercy of God will descend, and Allah the Almighty will cause this period of darkness to come to an end. Then Khilafat on the precepts of prophethood will be re-established. Thereafter the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, remains silent. So thus, first the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned his prophethood. He then mentioned the Khilafat-e-Rashida, the rightly guided successorship. Then the Holy Prophet mentioned the establishment of the rightly guided successorship. That would continue on the precepts, in other words, on the pattern of prophethood. The world then saw that the first four Khilifas, that are called the rightly guided successors, how they were far removed from the glamour, pomp and glory, and purely for the sake of Allah the Almighty, they always kept the pleasure of Allah the Almighty before them at all times, and discharged the duties of Khilafat. Then look at how word for word this statement of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came true. In some eras we find more severe monarchy, and in other eras we find a less severe monarchy amongst the Muslims. This monarchy was established after the rightly guided Khilafat. This thus proved true that part of the prophecy of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In history, we find oppression and injustice amongst these monarchies. These monarchs had greater inclination towards the world over the faith. Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that as has always occurred, Allah the Almighty displayed His mercy upon His servants. After a period of darkness, once again the mercy of Allah the Almighty came into motion. The period of darkness would thus dispel. Once again, Khilafat on the precepts of prophethood would be established. After this, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained silent, as is mentioned in the hadith. Pondering on this hadith, every single person can discern that after the rightly guided Khilafat, the Holy Prophet's words came true. Thereafter, the Holy Prophet's words regarding a less tyrannical monarchy came true, and the words of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about a more severe form of monarchy also came true. So thus, with respect to the last part of the prophecy, despite all of the other prophecies coming to pass, and despite Allah the Almighty's own proclamation that وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ, that from among the latter-day people also, there would be a group or a people amongst whom He would send, who have not yet met them. In other words, the means for the establishment of the Khilafat on the precepts of prophethood would be produced once again by Allah the Almighty. Allah the Almighty states then, وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, and He is the Mighty, the Wise. So thus when Allah the Almighty's all-encompassing wisdom has made this decree, and when His mercy has come into motion, and He said that He would deliver the Muslims from the despotic Muslim monarchy, and would establish Khilafat upon the precepts of prophethood, then this is exactly what He did. So thus we, Ahmadis, are fortunate, because where on the one hand, we testify to the first part of the prophecy, or the guidance, or the hadith of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we believe in it. And we believe that it did come to pass. There, on the other hand, we also believe in the last part of this prophecy. We have entire belief in the words of the Holy Prophet ﷺ that it did come to pass. There is another hadith of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Having belief in this injunction of Allah the Almighty, تَلْوَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ, that there will be people from among them of the latter days who have not yet joined them. And seeing the circumstances of the time, and observing all the signs of the era being fulfilled, we have come to have faith in the Messiah and Mahdi who came. In one hadith, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has addressed the promised Messiah as Nabiullah, a prophet of Allah. Then the Holy Prophet said, between me and the Messiah, there is no prophet. Then in accordance with the verse, وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ, Allah the Almighty had declared the one who would come in the latter days as the coming of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. In the sense that the coming Messiah and Mahdi would be utterly immersed in the love of the Holy Prophet Muhammad and as the shadow of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he would obtain the status of prophethood. In explanation of the aforementioned verse, the Holy Prophet ﷺ placed his hand upon the shoulder of Hadrat Salman Farsi and stated that the coming one would be from amongst these people, in other words, the non-Arabs. The Holy Prophet also detailed the sign of the faith vanquishing and ascending to the Pleiades. All the Muslim clergy accept this, that in that time, when the Holy Promised Messiah, on whom be peace, made his claim, the state of the faith of Muslims was extremely weak. It was as if the faith had left the earth. Thus, they see these signs, and they see these signs being fulfilled. And these signs being fulfilled tell us that the Messiah and Mahdi who came, indeed came at the appointed time. Here, I should also explain that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, in the position of Khatamul Khulafa, reached the pinnacle of that Khilafat, which is the highest standard of being on the precepts of prophethood. Or it can be said that the promised Messiah was blessed with being on that status, which is the most exemplary rank of following the Prophet. In accordance with the guidance and injunction of Allah the Almighty and the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as a result of being utterly immersed in the love of the Holy Prophet, as the promised Messiah, he was also blessed with being a subordinate prophet. So thus, when the system of Khilafat initiated after him, it was on his pattern, which was in fact and in essence established on the precepts of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The work of that Khilafat would be to embed the law of the Holy Quran amongst the Muslims, that in accordance with the teachings of the Holy Quran, to strive to fulfill the dues to Allah the Almighty and to mankind, and to inculcate it amongst others. It is that to make the practice of the Holy Prophet as the guiding light, and to act upon it, to lead the Jamaat in accordance with the practice of the Holy Prophet, and to make them act in that way. So thus, Khilafat-e-Ahmadiyyat also is the continuation of the Khilafat-e-Rashida, the rightly guided Khilafat, in the second phase of Islam. In terms of the first phase of Khilafat, the Holy Prophet ﷺ was informed by Allah the Almighty and mentioned that after a period, that first Khilafat would come to an end. And having been informed by Allah the Almighty with respect to the Khilafat of the second phase, he imparted the glad tiding of an everlasting Khilafat. However, who was this for? Most certainly, it was for those people who would fulfill the dues of remaining attached to Khilafat. Those who tread on the path of Taqwa, who perform amal saliha, righteous deeds, and who progress in worship. There are many people who enter into the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat. However, because they do not fulfill the right of being attached to Khilafat, the decree of Allah the Almighty removes them from the Jamaat. For worldly concerns, they are either separated from the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, or they themselves announce that they have cut themselves off from the Jamaat. However, through such people leaving the community, has the progress of the Jamaat ever affected or been hampered? By one leaving the community, Allah the Almighty confers a whole community. Dry branches are cut, so thus flourishing and evergreen branches sprout to an even greater degree than before. So thus, because this is a decree of Allah the Almighty, that the system of Khilafat would now always remain perpetual. So thus, its trimming and weeding and pruning, the responsibility of has been taken by Allah the Almighty Himself. It can never occur that Allah the Almighty would not cause to fulfill the prophecy of His most beloved man, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Most certainly this prophecy did come to pass and would always, inshallah, do so. Although such circumstances can arise, that the detractors and those of weak faith believe that now this will come to an end and finish. However, the practical signs of Allah the Almighty removes the Jamaat from such predicaments. The most heart-trembling period that fell upon the Jamaat was when the promised Messiah alayhi salam's demise occurred, as I have mentioned. The opponents were joyous, whilst Ahmadis were perturbed. However, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, had prepared the Jamaat for this from beforehand, when he stated that Allah the Almighty had inform me repeatedly that the time of my demise is imminent. However, he said, there is no need to be frustrated or worried with respect to this. In Risala al-Wasiyat, the will, the promised Messiah alayhi salam stated, do not worry. Where on the one hand, he gave news of his departure from this world. There he also made clear the spiritual, financial, methodology and setup of the community. He also informed of it being permanently maintained perpetually. The promised Messiah alayhi salam says, do not worry about this, because Allah the Almighty had promised me that He would cause the Jamaat to progress, because this was the Jamaat, regarding the progress of which, and regarding which a prophecy of Khilafat being established had been made by the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The promised Messiah on whom be peace writes, God's word informs me that many calamities will occur and many disasters will descend on the earth. Some will occur during my lifetime and some will come to pass after I have departed. He will promote and advance this Jamaat to the full. A part of it will happen at my hands and some after me. The promised Messiah states, thus Allah manifests two kinds of His power. First, He shows the hand of His power at the hands of His prophets themselves. Second, with the death of a prophet, difficulties and problems arise, and the enemy feels stronger and thinks that things are in disarray, and is convinced that now this Jamaat will become extinct. And even members of the Jamaat too are in a quandary, and their backs are broken, and some of the unfortunate ones choose paths that lead to apostasy. Then it is that God for the second time shows His mighty power, and supports and takes care of the shaken Jamaat. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam then says, it is essential for you to witness the second manifestation also, and its coming is better for you, because it is everlasting, the continuity of which will not end until the Day of Judgment. He says, when I depart, God will send that second manifestation for you, which shall always stay with you, just as promised by God in Barahine Ahmadiyyat. This promise is not for my person, rather the promise is with reference to you, as God says, addressing me, I shall make this Jamaat, who are your followers, prevail over others till the Day of Judgment. Thus, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, for the last 105 years, we have been witnessing the fulfillment of this promise of Allah. Different phases fell upon the Jamaat. However, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, the Jamaat remains on an upward slope of progress at extreme rapidity and speed. In one country, the opponents of the Jamaat tried to produce circumstances of hardship, barbarity and injustices, and they perpetrate them. So in other countries, Allah the Almighty opens up extraordinary paths of successes. In fact, this is not all, but in those countries where hardships are born for the Jamaat, there Allah the Almighty continues to strengthen the faith of the Ahmadis living there. Further, when I see in my person that despite all of my weaknesses, how Allah the Almighty is causing the Jamaat to progress forward on the expansive path of success and prosperity, then faith in the being of Allah the Almighty enhances, and belief in the promises of Allah the Almighty becomes even more complete. Most certainly, it is the hand of Allah the Almighty which is continuing to take the Jamaat onwards and upwards. Whoever Allah the Almighty will appoint as the Khalifa, irrespective of his state, Allah the Almighty, through His help and succor, will continue to bless him, inshallah, God willing. With the establishment of Khilafat-e-Khamisa, the fifth Khilafat, Allah the Almighty demonstrated this practical testimony of His, that the prophecy of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the statement of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, that Khilafat in the era of the rejuvenation of Islam is everlasting, that this is most certainly the decree of Allah the Almighty. In future also, inshallah, this system will remain established perpetually. However, Allah the Almighty has also detailed some of the signs of those who derive blessings from Khilafat. In the verses that I recited, Allah the Almighty has drawn out all these aspects, which are necessary for those who derive benefit from the blessings of Khilafat. Allah the Almighty states, the response of the believers when they are called to Allah and His Messenger in order that He may judge between them is only that Sami'ana wa ata'na, we hear and we obey. God says that these are the people who shall achieve success. These are the people who will witness successes. Thus here, all that is mentioned is not just worship and pure religious rituals. In fact, as the Holy Quran has claimed, where mention is made of the rights of Allah the Almighty, there the rights of mankind have also been mentioned, as has been the rights of society and the rights of government. The Holy Quran is a perfect and complete code of conduct for life. So thus here is also a warning for those people who in their worldly matters and disputes, despite there existing a system of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat, where in the system of the Jamaat it is endeavored to explain the matters in light of the law and in light of the Sharia of Islam. Yet these people reject the Nizami Jamaat. Instead, they take the matter to the courts of the country. This is in particular in marital affairs between husband and wife, and also in some other matters. The bad intentions of such people are discovered when first they reject the matter being brought forth before the Jamaat. Yet when the court verdict goes against them, or they do not attain what they had set out to, they then return to the Jamaat. It is such things which highlight the weakness of faith of a person. Allah the Almighty states that believers are those who judge their matters in accordance with the verdict of Allah and His Messenger. The system of the Jamaat endeavors and should make its decisions in accordance with the verdicts of Allah and His Messenger. Here I would also like to warn that segment of the Nizami Jamaat who at times do not make decisions going into depth into the Quran and the practice of the Holy Prophet. They themselves become sinners, and they also become the pretext of others becoming distant to the system of the Jamaat and to Khilafat. Allah the Almighty has entrusted as one of the duties of Khilafat to judge between people with justice. Nowadays, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, the Jamaat has expanded and has become so vast. The Jamaat has expanded to such an extent that it is not possible for the Khalifa of the time to reach every place or to personally become involved and take every decision. As the Jamaat will inshallah continue to progress, difficulties with this respect will continue to grow. So thus those office holders and those workers who have been appointed for duties, if they do not carry out their work with the fear of Allah in their hearts and with taqwa and do not carry out their responsibilities as such, they would also be defaming the Khalifa of the time. Thus they would become sinners in the sight of God, and they would also make the Khalifa sinful. So thus in particular, the Qazi Saiban, the judges, and those Umara, and those office holders who have been entrusted with the responsibility of making decisions, they should remain firm upon justice, and should strive to become a means of strengthening the Khilafat. And they should become this means. Or else it would be those very people who would be apparently office holders, but who would in fact be trying to make the roots of Khilafat hollow. So therefore, where Allah the Almighty has declared those people as successful, who purely adopting the taqwa of Allah the Exalted, attain successes and prosperities. They completely and perfectly obey the Nizami Jamaat and Khilafat, and obtain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. There, I also say to all those office holders, including the Qazi Saiban, remain entrusted with making decisions. That you also should discharge your responsibilities in accordance with Allah and His Messenger. Do not do anything that will cause you to become far removed from justice. That is distant from taqwa. Strive to fulfill the proper due of being the representatives of the Khalifa of the time. If this does not happen, then a time will most certainly come that you will definitely be caught. At such a time, worldly action will definitely be taking place, but you could also be susceptible to the chastisement of Allah. Thus, this is a state of deep fear for office holders. To be an office holder is not merely to hold an office. In fact, it is an immense responsibility. Then Allah the Almighty states, if you claim to believe in Allah, if you claim to believe in the Messenger of Allah, if you claim to believe in the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi, if you claim to give precedence to the faith over worldly matters, then act upon every single one of the injunctions of Allah and His Messenger. Whatever the Imam of the time has enjoined you, you should act upon. Whatever guidance is given by the Khalifa of the time, act upon it. Otherwise, to just swear oath and to make lofty and tall claims that we shall do this and we shall do this will be meaningless. Allah the Almighty knows well the state of your hearts. He is aware and He has knowledge of what you claim and what you are actually doing. At every ijtima, we do pledge that whatever ma'roof decision is made by the Khalifa of the time, we will deem necessary to abide by. Yet, even very small matters are not followed. In fact, they do not even make efforts to abide by the commandments of the Holy Quran. They do not even strive to achieve the minimum standard. Now I shall give one example. Here, the Jalsa of the West Coast took place. There are many other issues and perhaps even more will come to light. However, at present I have the example of the woman before me. I drew the attention of the woman that every single one of our women who lives in this Western country should wear modest dress and should wear the hijab and should cover themselves. This is a directive of the Holy Quran. This is no ordinary commandment. The Holy Quran has mentioned this specifically, so thus this should be acted upon. However, I observed after a short time, there was no heed given towards this. In fact, some women who perhaps the Lajna had forcibly made to wear the hijab, and thus had received their burqas from the Lajna, they left their burqas behind in the mosque. And now those who are cleaning the mosque are accumulating those burqas. The commandment of observing modesty in Islam may indeed have been given to both men and women. However, a woman has especially been counseled by the Promised Messiah alayhi salam to take care in this respect. Because the glances of men are sometimes not under control. Further, this commandment has been given for the betterment of both men and women. No expenses on this. There is no effort undertaken for this. However, because materialism and worldliness is dominant, there is no attention given towards this. Allah states, if you act upon this, you'll be successful. If you do not act upon this, then Allah the Almighty states, the task of the messenger is only to convey the message. It is to openly and clearly express and convey the commands of Allah. If you act upon them, you'll be counted amongst those who are guided. You'll be counted amongst those who fulfill the dues of the bet. If not, then Allah the Almighty knows all. Do not only remain content on the fact that we are Ahmadis, or that we have been born in an Ahmadi household. the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has stated, "My birth will be of no use if it is not accompanied by amal salihah, righteous deeds." Then the prayer is a fundamental commandment, which Allah the Almighty has said is the purpose of man's creation. However, even some senior office holders show slackness and laziness in this respect. There are some office holders who are working and who are very active in the Jamaat. They perhaps come here and do the prayer in the mosque with great concentration. However, their wives do inform after that they are not performing their prayers when they are at home. So that's when a most important commandment of Allah the Almighty is not being acted upon, then the claim that we shall do this and that is worthless. First, reform your own state. Then, when your state is such that you are acting upon every single one of the commands of Allah the Almighty, when there is a special effort to acquire the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, it is only then that you will be deemed to be an Ahmadi or a Mu'min who is acting upon Sami'na wa Ata'na, that we hear and we obey. When this occurs, when after faith there are efforts to enhance it, when attention will be given towards performing righteous deeds, then such people will continuously derive blessings from a Khilafat. In other words, Allah the Almighty has made this promise with such people, or those people will derive benefit from the station of Khilafat. Those people will obtain security and tranquility. Allah the Almighty will change the state of fear into peace to those people who truly believe and perform righteous deeds and worship, and who desist from all types of shirk, associating partners with God, and who are grateful upon this blessing and reward of God which has been received in the shape of Khilafat. As I stated, Allah the Almighty has established this system in Ahmadiyyat. This system cannot be established anywhere else. Ahmadis are fortunate who have partaken of the share of blessings of Khilafat as a result of believing and accepting in the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Therefore, you should always remember, the promise of Allah the Almighty is not unconditional. In fact, it is based on some stipulations and conditions. When these conditions will be fulfilled, it is then that with the grace of the Almighty Allah, tranquility will be attained. The state of fear will continuously transform into peace. The members of the Jamaat have experienced exactly this on a number of occasions. During this phase, the non-Ahmadis also witnessed how Allah the Almighty provides the means of peace and tranquility for Ahmadis. Non-Ahmadis are also witness to this. I have mentioned this numerous times before also, that before the election of Khilafat-e-Khamsa, the fifth Khilafat, the state of Ahmadis was also felt by non-Ahmadis. Some of them were waiting in the hope to see how they thought Ahmadiyyat would be ruined. However, the promise that Allah the Almighty made with the promised Messiah alayhi salam was fulfilled by Allah so spectacularly that the world was wonderstruck. As a result of MTA, the non-Ahmadis also witnessed that fear transformed into peace. That a non-Ahmadi Pir Sahib, or spiritual leader, who was acquainted to an Ahmadi, said, "I do not accept or believe that you are true. However, I do acknowledge, after seeing all that was happening, that you have the practical testimony of Allah with you." So thus it definitely seems that the help and succor of Allah is with you. But he would not accept. So thus there are also such people who witness everything, and despite this, they remain stubborn and obstinate. The wave of oppression that is currently blowing in Pakistan demonstrates that Ahmadis are progressing onwards and upwards. The field of the Ahmadis is increasing in scope and in vastness. The more they try to eliminate it, they do not end. And they think, how can we eliminate Ahmadiyyat? However, I say to these people, O enemies of Ahmadiyyat, remember, our friend, our helper is that Allah who is a possessor of all powers. He will never allow you to be successful. The progress of Islam now is attached to the promised Messiah on whom be peace. The flag of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will now be raised by the servants of the Messiah of Muhammad. Those people will raise the flag of the Prophet Muhammad who believe in Khilafat on the precepts of prophethood. Those who are attached to Khilafat and those who are linked to the Jamaat, those who have held fast to the Hablullah, the rope of Allah, thus no effort, no scheme, no attack or no help from any government can hinder the Khilafat Ahmadiyya from achieving its objectives, nor can it hamper the progress of the Jamaat Ahmadiyya. The members of the Jamaat should also remember, as I have stated, that they should tread on taqwa. They should observe the prayer. They should increase in financial sacrifices, which will enable them to continue to derive blessings from Khilafat. Thus, it is the duty of every single individual that he should make maximum efforts. This is so that they can obtain abundant share from the mercy of Allah. Now, I shall present some extracts of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, which he has written in Risala al-Wasiyyat, the will. This is for those people who will remain attached to the continuing institution of Khilafat, who will derive blessings from Khilafat, or who will remain attached to the Jamaat and who want to obtain the pleasure of Allah. In this respect, the promised Messiah on whom be peace states, and you too should partake of the Holy Spirit by compassion and by purifying your souls, because without the Holy Spirit, true taqwa cannot be obtained. And totally shedding all base desires of the self, choose for the sake of winning the pleasure of God that path compared to which no path can be narrower and straighter. Don't fall in love with the pleasures of the world, for they take you away from God. Choose a life of austerity for the sake of God. The pain which pleases God is better than the pleasure which makes him angry, and the defeat which pleases God is better than the victory which invites the wrath of Allah. Renounce the love which brings you nearer to the wrath of Allah. If, by purifying your hearts, you come to him, he will help you whichever path you tread, and no enemy shall ever be able to harm you. You can never, ever win the pleasure of Allah unless you, relinquishing your desires, abandoning your pleasures, sacrificing your honor, disowning your wealth, discarding your life, bear such hardships in his way as make you suffer the pangs of death. But once you suffer such hardship, you will sit in the lap of God like a beloved child, and you'll be made heirs of the truthful who have preceded you. The door of every blessing will be open to you, but there are few who belong to this category. God addressed me and said that taqwa is a tree that should be planted in the heart. The very water which nourishes taqwa irrigates the entire garden. Taqwa is a root without which everything is meaningless, and if it remains intact, then nothing is lost. What benefit is there for a man in indulging himself in the useless activity of claiming with his tongue that he seeks God, whilst he has no sure footing with his Lord? Look, I say to you truly and sincerely that ruined is he whose faith is tainted by even a hint of worldliness. Hell is very close to that soul, all of whose intentions are not for God. Rather, some of them are for God and others are for the world. Thus, if you have an iota of worldly adulteration in your intentions, all your worship is in vain. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, but if you in reality die by killing your baser selves, then you shall appear in God, and God shall be with you. And the house in which you live will be blessed, and God's mercy will descend on the walls which are the walls of your house. And that city shall be blessed where such a person lives. If your life and your death, Your every action and movement, your kindness and your anger are for God only. And if in any trouble or difficulty, you do not put God to the test, nor sever your relationship with Him. Rather, under these trials, you step forward towards God. Then I truly say to you that you will become a chosen people of God. You too are human, as I am human, and that very God who is mine is yours. So do not lay waste your noble capacities. Look, if you fully incline towards God, then be reminded, and I say it in accordance with the will and the pleasure of God, that you shall become His chosen people. Let the greatness of God take root in your hearts and acknowledge His unity, not just with your tongues, but also with your actions, so that God too, practically, shows His mercy and kindness to you. Refrain from malice and treat human beings with true compassion. Adopt each and every path of righteousness, for who knows from which of these paths you'll be accepted. The Promised Messiah states, rejoice and be happy that the field of achieving nearness to God is vacant. Every nation is in love with the world, and to what pleases God, the world pays no attention. Now is the time for those who wish to enter this door, that they, mustering all their strength, show their mettle and win the much coveted prize from God. Do not think that God will let you go to waste. You are the seed which the hand of God has sown in the earth. God says that this seed will grow and flower, and its branches will spread in all directions, and it will become a huge tree. So blessed is one who believes in what God says, and does not fear the trials which he suffers in this path. For the coming of trials is essential, so that God may try you to see who is true in his declaration of birth, and who is false. Then the Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, God addressed me and said that I should inform my Jamaat that those who believe and their belief is not adulterated with worldly considerations and is free from hypocrisy and cowardice and is not found wanting at any stage of obedience, such people are the favorites of God. And God says that indeed these are the ones whose station is that of truth. May Allah the Almighty enable everyone to live up to the expectations that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, had for his Jamaat. May Allah the Almighty enable all of us to establish a true and fully loyal bond with Khilafat and bestow upon us the ability to establish the highest standards of obedience. May He enable us to achieve the highest levels of our worship, so that all are perpetually blessed from the bounty and blessing of Khilafat.
جو زمین میں بویا گیا خدا فرماتا ہے کہ یہ بیج بڑھے گا اور پھولے گا اور ہر ایک طرف سے اس کی شاخیں نکلیں گی اور ایک بڑا درخت ہو جائے گا بس مبارک وہ جو خدا کی بات پر ایمان رکھے اور درمیان میں آنے والے ابتلاؤں سے نہ ڈرے کیونکہ ابتلاؤں کا آنا بھی ضروری ہے تا خدا تمہاری آزمائش کرے کہ کون اپنے دعوے بیت میں صادق اور کون کاذب ہے فرمایا خدا نے مجھے مخاطب کر کے فرمایا کہ میں اپنی جماعت کو اطلاع دوں کہ جو لوگ ایمان لائے ایسا ایمان جو اس کے ساتھ دنیا کی ملونی نہیں اور وہ ایمان نفاق یا بزدلی سے آلودہ نہیں اور وہ ایمان اطاعت کے کسی درجے سے محروم نہیں ایسے لوگ خدا کے پسندیدہ لوگ ہیں اور خدا فرماتا ہے کہ وہی ہیں جن کا قدم صدق کا قدم ہے اللہ تعالیٰ سب کو حضرت مسیح موعود علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی اپنی جماعت کے بارے میں جو توقعات ہیں ان کو پورا اس میں پورا اترنے کی توفیق عطا فرمائے خلافت احمدیہ سے سچا اور وفا کا تعلق قائم فرمائے اطاعت کے اعلیٰ معیار قائم کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرمائے اپنی عبادتوں کے اعلیٰ معیار حاصل کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرمائے تاکہ خلافت کے انعام سے ہمیشہ سب فیض یاب ہوتے رہیں
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر